This is the one. This is the fucking podcast of all podcasts. It's the motherfucking Holy Grail. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know, I think that we'd be shocked if we walked through some of our schools today from USA Today. Today's schools are cursed by an increase in swearing with language that would stand a sailor's hair on end. In a recent poll of high school principals, 89% said they face profane language every day. How sad, Jack. Our teenagers.
You are now listening to the world's stupidest podcast ever. This is the GTFOH podcast. We have no idea what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah! Yeah! For the first time ever. Like it never happened. Here we are, back again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the GTFOH podcast, episode number 52. We never have mistakes on this show ever. This is a flawless show, a flawless production. He's a one-man army. He can't be fucking stopped. Yeah! Had a little technical difficulties there for my friends who are watching this live on Twitch. The lesson there, folks, that we all can learn from one another is when you're going to do a different type of live stream, create a whole new profile for that on your loopback program. Otherwise, you may run into problems when you try to go back and stream a secondary fucking thing for the night. So, you know what I mean? Just do it right next time, folks. Yeah, I'm giving out free gems all night tonight, baby. Loop that shit back. What y'all feel? All right. Welcome back to the show. It's been a little while. I was in New Mexico last week. I had a fucking brilliant time. Fucking brilliant, man. Fucking brilliant time in New Mexico. Played Albuquerque. I played Gallup. I played Farmington. All the shows were dope. To keep it all the way funky with you, and you know I do it. I do keep it all the way funky. I was expecting a little bit more people in Albuquerque, but they had just enforced the mask mandate. The numbers were popping up on the COVID shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
And also, I'm used to the Mayday crowd. The Mayday crowd, like when we do a Mayday show there, that shit cracks. And also, we haven't done a Mayday show since COVID. So it's a combination, I think, of everything. But still, what I will say about New Mexico is even though there was a little bit less people than I would hope for in Albuquerque, it's still like they could be quadruple the amount of energy it is for the amount of people that are in there. So shout out to fucking Albuquerque, shout out to Gallup, shout out to Farmington. We had a great fucking time. We took a Wrecking Crew member with us, fucking Rolo Jenkins. All right,
what?
Yes, we took him, we kidnapped him, and fucking made him part of our crew, and he manned the merch table for the three shows. So shout out to fucking Rolo Jenkins, fucking Rody the Rody. Spence gonna interview him. I wonder if it's gonna be about the trip. All I know is that I was going to shower and fucking took my shirt off, and I was walking across the hotel room, and Rody was like, "Wow, you're paler than I thought." And I was like, "Well, this is going to get awkward."
Get the fact out of here.
I was like, "Damn, bro, I'm not even that pale for real." Fuck. Oh, you're the palest Mexican I ever seen. Fuck. Anyway, we out here. World's getting crazy, but we're just trying to fucking see our way through this world. Shit, I had a great time in New Mexico, but I did on the last night. The first night, sound was great. I was like, yes, fuck yeah. Second night, sound was also good. We had some issues, but it wasn't that bad. By the time we like got through it, it was cool. My vocals, I didn't have to strain too much. The third night, we had really, really fucked up sound issues.
Get the fuck out of here.
Which caused me to like strain my voice on my way back, and I'm still like getting my muscles together in terms of vocal cords for like yelling and screaming for an hour on stage. So I was in some pain these last couple days, but it was nothing like that last time I got strained. So it's getting better. At least I know, like, by the time we go on tour next month and go on the road for 6 weeks, I won't be fighting this shit every other fucking show. Yeah, at least it wasn't a dad bod one-liner. Yes.
Get the fuck
All right, it's been a little while since we had to take a little break, so I gotta quickly shout out the monthly supporters. You already know what it is. I don't put this shit at the end like the credits. This is at the front of the show. This is your feature presentation. This is your executive produced by. You are the motherfucking truth. Some of you guys, I must repeat and say this again, especially after just doing this bright live session a little while ago. You guys support me in multiple places. I don't take that shit for granted. It means a lot to me, and it gives me a tremendous amount of anxiety knowing that I need to provide equal amounts of entertainment in everywhere that you may support. So if you're supporting me on Patreon and you go to a Bright Live, Rockwell, I need to make sure, oh, fuck, I gotta be really entertaining because you already watch me and support me in other places, so I need to really be on my game. And I think that about everyone who supports me on this podcast, too, especially if you're Wrecking Crew. So, Aina, Song Mark, Paul Reed, who I gotta say real quick, let me just, we need to make some noise for Paul Reed, who just had surgery recently and is on the recovery and the bounce back. So, Mr. Deadpool, when you hear this, we're thinking of you, we're sending you good energy, we fucking love you, all right? Fuck the bullshit. We need that bounce back to be swift and just. Kaylee Carr, Dustin Carson, Tanya Lopez, a.k.a. The Music Witch, Lucas, Randy, Denny, Jean-Paul Gagné. It's Jean-Paul, if you're motherfucking lost. Christina Valenzuela, Brandon Nevin, Benoj, Matthew Wright, Amanda. Amanda Rec keeps giving me his money now, churchin'. Dylan, Eric, Nick, Samantha Robinson, a.k.a. Sam So Tiny, a.k.a. Where Has She Been Lately? Because I need to restart the motherfucking app. Julio Martinez, Connie Wellman, Adam Rothstein, we family, we go back. Cody Omer, Mr. Robert Russo, a.k.a. Mrs. Gia. KDO, a.k.a. Special K. Janelli, a.k.a. Gia, a.k.a. Mrs. Rob. Nick, Mallory Kuda. Mallory Kuda. Tony G. Tony G, Sleepy Tony. Stella Wellman, a.k.a. So Nice She Had to Donate Twice. Brandon Mullen, Michael Lockwood, a.k.a. Circle Pit Mike. James Fonner Jr., aight, Apple Genius in the house. Misty, my guy Norman Joseph Penworthy the Sixth. That's right, I say your name out every time now because I don't give a fuck. Jan V and Christopher Carbajal. I love you guys. Thank you so much for everything you do. All the support you show, the show. I'm just trying to blow up here in this podcast world. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be on some like Noriega shit. I'm trying to like get so fucking hype off podcasting that I just stop rapping. You know what I mean? Or just like rap sporadically. I'm trying to get blow up in the podcast game. You know, one time for that.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just kidding. Nori raps a lot, and I would rap a lot too, even if I blew up off the podcast game on some Joe Rogan shit. My music would be even crazy. All right, so anyways, enough rambling. It's good to be back. It's good to talk some shit with you guys. Thank you if you got to attend my Bright Live talk on songwriting earlier. We're going to keep it moving. It's time to check out this crazy world that we got out here, because I feel like, are things getting better? Are they? No, they're fucking getting worse.
Getting some head.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
The fuck are you doing?
We need to acknowledge an unfortunate mistake that I made and one of the teases we bring to you before this program. While we were live just after 10 o'clock, I said a word that many people find offensive. I'm truly sorry. It was a mistake on my part, and I sincerely apologize.
Yeah. You need to apologize, bitch. Yeah. The world is getting... crece, mucho crece, all right? You know, sometimes I start this show and I forget if I introed this right and then I had all those technical difficulties. Did I even say my name? Do I even need to say my name at this point? I don't fucking know. Did I tell you that my name is recognized and my friends call me Wreck and it's Billboard Baggins if you're nerdy and Billy Baggins if you're...
Nasty?
Did I? I don't even remember anymore. My brain is fucking melting. Shout out to Metaphorical in the chat. I see you got Rally Squad with that. Is the world getting crazier? Is it getting more depressing? Is it turning into Idiocracy Part 2? I feel like it might. Fuck. Brain's basically banana paste before the dawn. That's what I know. Well, I guess we should check out that motherfucking headlines then.
A judge is ordering a West Michigan couple to pay over $30,000 to their son for throwing out his pornography collection.
Get the fuck
the decision
out of here.
Came about 8 months after David Working won a lawsuit against his parents. Working says that they had no right to throw out his collection. Working had lived at his parents' home in Grand Haven for 10 months after a divorce, this before moving to Indiana. As part of the decision, Working's parents must also pay over $14,000 to his attorney.
Well, goddamn. Let me fucking find out. This guy went out there and just went crazy ape shit. What happened? I was like, oh shit, damn, I didn't know teenagers could sue their parents like that. And no, no, he's not a teenager. I think the dude is like 39 years old.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bruh, what's happening here? What are you doing? What are you doing? Even if that happened to me, you think I'm going to sue my parents? I'm going to go with no. I'm not suing my parents, dude. He's 30-something, right? Michigan couple's been ordered to pay more than 45 G's, if you weren't listening there, after destroying their son's extensive porn collection. God damn, extensive.
Get the fuck out of here.
43-year-old David Working sued his parents. 43, folks.
Get the fuck out of here.
If I was 43, which I'm rapidly approaching that age, if I was 43 and my parents, I had to move back in with my parents, that wouldn't even be public knowledge. No offense to anybody who had to move back in with their parents. But if you move back in with your parents and then you take a fucking trunk of porn to their house and they find it and go, what the fuck is this shit? And throw it away. I'm not suing them. I'm not making it public knowledge.
Get the fuck out of here.
43-year-old David, guess what his last name is? It's Working. W-E-R-K-I-N-G. David Working. Put it on Working.
Get the fuck out of here.
43-year-old David Working sued his parents, Beth and Paul Working. It sounds fucking amazing. In 2019, after they admitted to throwing out his trove of pornography and an array of sex toys.
Get the fuck.
What?
The plaintiff reportedly moved in with his parents following his divorce in 2016 and moved out about 10 months later. Shortly after leaving his parents' home, David sent for his belongings. However, when the delivery arrived, he noticed some of his items were missing, specifically two boxes of sex toys and a damn two boxes of sex toys. What my guy doing? And a dozen boxes of pornographic material. The lawsuit states David reached out to his dad about the missing property and was told that the items were long gone. Listen, David, I fucking threw that shit away, dude. You had butt plugs in that box, bro. What the fuck are you doing?
Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck I was going to do? Use that shit on your mom? No.
Get the fuck out of here.
I do not possess your... This is a direct quote. I do not possess your pornography. It is gone, Paul reportedly wrote in an email to his son. It has either been destroyed or disposed of. I may well have missed a few items that are now in your possession, but at this point, if you don't have it, it is gone. Ditto for your sex toys and smutty magazines. Frankly, David, I did you a big favor getting rid of all this stuff. You fucking herb.
Get the fuck out of here.
David's legal team hired Dr. Victoria Hartman. She's a sexuality scholar who specializes in pornography and paraphilias to place a value on the destroyed items. Hartman determined the collection had been worth $30,441.54. My guy David Working spent a fucking sedan's worth on porn.
Get the fuck out of here.
David, I don't know if you know this or not, but porn's mostly free now. What are you doing? Why are you buying porn?
Get the fuck out of here.
$30,000 worth. There's no question that the destroyed property was David's property, said U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney. Defendants repeatedly admitted that they destroyed the property. The judge also ordered Beth and Paul to pay $14,519.82 to their son's attorney. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
God damn it. This is what I think about nowadays. This is where my head immediately goes, right? Check this out. I have kids. They're 3.5 years old, right? If my kids grow up to be 40, like 40 years from now, if I end up getting sued by my kids because I threw out a ton of porn that they left at my house when they had to move in after they got divorced, when they're 43, all this work that I'm putting in now on the daily is going to be fucking null and void.
Get the fuck out of here.
The first couple of years I was raising my kids, I was like, damn, you know what? This is a morbid thought, but like, you do so much for your kid. Some people get murdered by their kids.
Get the fuck out of here.
I might have said this on this show before. I want to say a future message right now to my kids. If you murder me, I'm just going to be really upset with you, all right? Because, yo, I wiped your butt for years, bruh.
Get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck? Do you imagine all the things that these two people did for this guy? Now he's suing them because they threw away his fucking pornography. And, yo, I like porn like the next person, but I'm just saying. I never collected $30,000 worth. Maybe it's because I worked at a porn company for a while that I understand the game, or I just would never. I don't know. It's like when you work at McDonald's or whatever, you're not going to be like, well, I'm never paying for burgers again. I should just get burgers free forever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. All I'm saying is, if my kids sue me for porn or murder me, I'm going to be fucking upset.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's all I'm fucking saying, all right? All right. Someone says they might know this person. Let me find out. We have listeners that are connected to David Working. All right. Where are we going to go from there? Can we get dumber than that? I don't know. That's pretty tough. That's going to be tricky. We can, I think, get dumber than that. We're going to have to go overseas, though, because that's a tall order, folks. That's a fucking tall fucking order. Let's see what we got. Let's go to India. Police say a man may have died after using a high-powered epoxy resin to seal his private parts during intercourse to ensure protection from pregnancy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, are you telling me that he glued his dick hole shut?
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, let's dive in. A local police investigator reportedly said that the 25-year-old Salman Mirza decided to use the epoxy instead of a condom, and spoiler alert, it may have complicated his health condition.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, goddamn. Hashtag no pregnancy. Police officers told the Times of India that the pair had taken some drugs and then decided to have sex. They had some sex. Since they did not have any protection, they decided to apply the adhesive on his private parts to ensure that she does not get pregnant. Naturally. I mean, there's dental dam, and then, you know, there's the pull-out method, which is kind of archaic at this point. You could just glue your dick. I say glue your dick. The incident took place in late June, but is now only being reported because that dude who glued his dick has the illest fucking press release, publicist, whatever the fuck, like, to keep this shit going. The investigation is ongoing.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's all they're going to give me? That's all they're going to fucking give me for that story? Well, all I got to say is, he did end up dying. Did he end up dying? He did end up dying. Holy shit. Yo, shout out to him. I think I did read that they, in another story that I couldn't like get the screenshot of, that they were on drugs, the couple. They were like pretty fucked up on some shit. And then he did end up dying. So rest in peace to him.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's definitely got to be up there in our superlatives for the end of the year's dumbest. I don't know. Why not just pull out game? Worked for so many people. Why not just pull it out? You know what I'm saying? You didn't have to glue it up. That's pretty intense. Well, rest in peace to my guy. You know what I mean? Mr. McGlue. And I hope his girl's doing all right, because that doesn't sound great for her either. Just pull it out, bro. Don't glue it up. What the fuck? All right. Well, shout
out.
Get
the fuck out of here.
Man, the world's just moving too fast. I can't keep up with it. We've had too much fun already. Dark turn.
He was on probation for killing a woman in a 2018 hit and run. But 5 months after a judge sentenced him, police say the Chicago man hit more pedestrians. CBS 2's Marie Saavedra is in Lakeview, where it happened early Sunday morning. Marie.
Erica, I want to show you the exact spot this all ended here at Broadway and Sheridan. Take a look over my shoulder and across the street. You can see that black fence line at the bottom there. There's a Jewel Osco bag, but it's off kilter. That is where the suspect's car finally stopped after police say he ran down three people. Two of them were badly hurt, but all three survived, unlike the woman this same driver hit in 2018.
It was just before 1 a.m. Sunday, and someone was in these flip-flops as they crossed the street at Irving and Broadway into the crosshairs of a driver.
The hit and run of people in the street entered black SUV fled the scene.
Chicago police say at this intersection, a car struck a man and woman, both 39, before making a U-turn, clipping this gas station and heading south on Broadway. That's when the SUV struck a 55-year-old cyclist who stopped to help the pair who'd been hit.
That vehicle was at Irving Park and Broadway. It hit somebody else.
That driver kept going two blocks before plowing into a fence at Broadway and Sheridan, where he was arrested. And we've learned this isn't the first time the driver of this car has hit a person and drove off. This is the mugshot of 32-year-old Rayon Allen of Chicago from September of 2018. He was driving on this part of Sheridan in Edgewater when he hit and killed a 93-year-old woman. In March of this year, he pled guilty to reckless homicide and sentenced to 30 months probation, which he was on Sunday when this happened.
10-4, we got another info rolling that way.
The woman and the cyclist were critically hurt, taken to the hospital with head trauma. Allen faces 7 charges, including DUI and leaving the scene. He'll be back in front of a judge in October.
I did speak to family members of the 93-year-old woman who was killed in that previous hit and run today. I asked them if they had any reaction to this alleged hit and run. They said they couldn't share it at this point because it is possible they could be seeking more legal action in the case of their mother's death. Erica.
All right, Marie, thank you.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bruh, come on, bruh. It was a dead giveaway, guys. I know some of y'all are listening to this audio only, but for those of you who can see the video, and for those of you who can't, this guy has his eyes closed in his mugshot.
Get the fuck out of here.
Come on, bro. What are you doing?
Get the fuck out of here.
And this is his second offense. He killed somebody on the last time. This is the second time he's done this. Bruh, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. My guy needs to stop. He couldn't even keep his eyes open for his mugshot. All right, that was a dead giveaway. This is a sad story. I can't really make too many jokes about this. I don't even want to talk too much about it. I just want to share with you a crazy fucking story. If you know anybody who's fucked up and getting behind the wheel, tell them to fucking quit it with
that
shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's ridiculous. And if that happened to you once and you killed somebody, you think maybe that would be a good inclination that you might want to, you know, clean up your act a little bit, clean up your game. Like, maybe I should, like, really go to, you know, rehab, stop driving. You know what I mean? Stop driving under the influence and shit. Yeah. What the fuck? No. Actually, why don't you go ahead and do it again and hit somebody? And then on the second offense, why don't you go circle back around and accidentally hit the person that stopped to help the first people that you hit? What's happening?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's sad. It's fucked up, man. That, my friends, is what we call a dark turn. I didn't mean to take us on a dark turn so early in the show, but dark turn.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Don't drink and drive, folks. All right. You know where I'm going after I drink this ridiculously weak fucking heart seltzer? I'm going fucking nowhere. All right. I'm only drinking one of these for the whole show. I'm still going nowhere. Mostly because I have nowhere to go, but secondly, because don't drink and drive, guys. It's pretty fucking simple. It does happen way too often, and it's fucking sad. All right, well, the show got dark for a second. You know what I mean? It got a little too morbid for my taste. I need to go back to people doing stupid shit, fucking to their dicks, I guess, maybe. sounds really weird when you say it like that. All right, let me set this one up for you guys. Do I have a video for this? No, I don't. All right. A Tennessee man had an unorthodox and no doubt a painful response to being pursued by police on Wednesday morning. His name, Tyson Gilbert, 39 years old, of Cookeville, Tennessee. Goddamn, I said Cookeville, Tennessee. And he reportedly, wait for it, cut off his penis and threw it out the window of his Honda Accord while fleeing officers.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, goddamn. yeah. Well, shit. Tyson Gilbert, 39. Cut off his dick to get away from the cops. I don't see how that helped at all. The chase began when police found him parked partially in the way of traffic on Highway 70 near the town of Dowelltown. Speaking to radio station WLJE, Tennessee Highway Patrol trooper Bobby Johnson said that the man took off when officers initially tried to signal him with their lights. Officers ultimately ended up pursuing Gilbert across two counties, from downtown to Lebanon. Somewhere along the way, he managed to cut off his own penis.
Get the fuck out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
What? Get the fuck out of here! Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. At one point during the chase, he turned onto a side road and opened his car door, giving officers a glimpse at his bizarre and frenzied state.
Yo, check this out, cops. You don't want to fuck with me. I just cut off my own dick, all right?
Get the fuck out of here!
It was a very strange intimidation tactic. I mean, it would work if you were about to fight somebody. If you're about to fight somebody, you're like, yo, man, fuck that shit. You took my girl, man. This is bullshit. We need to square up right now. And the dude was like, hold up a second. Hold up. Let me just cut off my dick. You're like, holy shit, I don't want to fight you. You're crazy. I don't know about flashing it like at cops who are chasing you. They're going to chase you regardless. I don't think cutting off your own dick is going to stop the cops. Bobby Johnson said he was all over the road the whole time. He turned off on Old Liberty Road and came to a stop. He opened his door. He was naked and covered in blood. He then shut his door and kept driving. I said,
get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Police eventually slowed him down with spike strips because it doesn't matter whether or not you have a dick. Spike strips are going to stop your car. And were then able to box him in, ending the pursuit. But it took a few tries because he was slippery, like his bloody dick.
Get the fuck out of here.
I quit this show. The Alexandria Police Department deployed spikes, which disabled the front right front tire. I don't know why that's in like quotes. Oh, okay. Oh, that's coming from a THP report. Gilbert continued westbound into Wilson County. Once in Wilson County, troopers deployed spikes within the Watertown city limits. This disabled the left front tire. Yet again, Gilbert refused to stop for law enforcement. He cut off his dick. He's not stopping for shit. As he drove at slow speeds westbound, law enforcement then boxed in the vehicle being driven by Gilbert and forced him to stop. Troopers quickly took Gilbert into custody and requested immediate medical attention for this dickless man and his alleged self-inflicted wound. Responding to a request from Newsweek, the THP Public Information Office confirmed many of the details related to the pursuit and condition of Gilbert on Wednesday morning, including that he had suffered from what appeared to be a self-inflicted wound to the dick.
Get the fuck out of here!
They should have put that in the article, though. To the dick. Due to the preliminary nature of the information and the ongoing investigation, the office could not immediately confirm the more outlandish aspects of Gilbert's reported injury, but it's true. He cut off his dick.
Get the fuck out of here!
He was taken to nearby Vanderbilt Hospital for treatment, and an update on his condition and whereabouts since Wednesday has not yet been provided. Say bye-bye to the pee-pee.
Get the fuck out of here!
Damn, I'm dickless driving though. Shit, it's fucked up, man. Again, like pull out if you're worried about getting a girl pregnant, and if you're running from the cops, I mean, just think about it for a split second. You may want to keep your dick at some point. I think might be useful to you. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Don't listen to me. It's just one guy's opinion. What do I know? What the fuck do I know? It was beautiful to fly back home. I missed being home. It was a little crazy when I left because Florida was popping off for all kinds of reasons. So when I travel, I feel like when people go like, where are you from? And I'm like, from Florida. They go, get away from me. Felt a little bit funky, you know, but it was nice to come back, and, come back we must.
Okay. So I think you should use this idea for your Florida segment and get the out of here. So I came up with get on the Florida. Because when the cops come arrest you with their handcuffs, they're like, get on the floor so that they can put the handcuffs on. And since it's about Florida and all the crazy stuff that happens there, which is usually involved with the cops, so get on the Florida is Florida. And also, get on Florida. I mean, get on the floor. So I think you should use it because I'm smart. Get on the floor.
Florida, Florida. It's good to be back inside of you with my whole uncut off dick, Florida.
Get the fuck out of here.
I feel like every time that I fly in and out of Florida, something crazy happens at the airport right before or right after I fly. Because I've seen a couple things recently, because flying's really fucking treacherous right now. If you haven't been flying, they try to get back to 100%, fucking capacity, but they don't have the manpower. They don't have the fucking planes. They don't have They don't have the pilots. They don't have the peanuts. They don't have shit. All right? They're trying to fucking fly 100% of their fucking business at 60%. It's fucked up. A lot of flights getting canceled. A lot of delays. A lot of pissed off people. Everybody on Frontier is fucked. It's just bad. It's just bad. I've seen so much. And then on top of that, strap a fucking diaper to everybody's face while they navigate through this. And it's a recipe for a fucking disaster, all right? So I've seen a lot of people fighting. I've seen a lot of impatient people. I've waited on a plane for 5 hours waiting to leave. We got trapped in Chicago for a night. We got delayed on the way back another 3 or 4 hours. It's fucked up. Shit's crazy out here. So I always wonder, like, one day, will I be this guy?
Wow. He's actually calling people.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he's from Miami, so don't be too surprised.
Where's the police? Wow! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Here comes my favorite part.
Yeah. Oh my God! Where is the police? Where's the police?
Thanks for watching. Please. If you did enjoy the video.
Fucking chaos. All right. One time for fucking chaos at the airport, baby. I love. My favorite part for those not watching video with us. He went and got mad and then he was arguing with the people at the gate. And then he went and he like, all right, I'm going to storm off. And when he went to storm off, he did like the most uncoordinated kick of the fucking wet floor sign on the and it just went boom, split into two pieces. It looked kind of like when Dave Chappelle punched the baby on Chappelle's Show. Fucking epic. A Florida man went on a rampage at the Miami International Airport on Friday, August 27th. Bro, I was on my trip. I had already flown by this point. Onlookers filmed the whole ordeal the airport personnel had to endure as the man started throwing stanchions around. At one point, is that what those things are called? Stanchions? All right, you learn something new every day. At one point, picking one up and threatening to hit an official with it. He was seen pacing up and down with a lot of force, yelling, kicking stuff around without any concern for the safety of people around him. Apparently, he was... a Vietnam veteran, so thank you for your service, I guess.
Yeah,
he's going through some shit. I don't know, man. This is fucking crazy out here. You know what I mean? I think they said he was a vet. That's not listed here, so don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure they said he was a vet and he's going through some crazy shit. He did end up getting arrested later, and I couldn't find out what happened to him after. He was unruly, but he didn't assault anyone per se. Didn't really get that crazy, so maybe he didn't get charged. I don't know, but yeah, if you go to the airport, look out for it because shit like that's happening.
Yeah, on the floor.
At Miami fucking airport, all right. And then they were all the headlines said racist man, blah 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 blah, racist man, this that and the third. And I was like, well, he's a Latin dude from. I'm assuming he's from Miami, so I wasn't that shocked. Man. I mean, I'm not saying he's not racist, but I'm just saying just because he said what he said. I wouldn't just write him off as racist right off the rip. I mean, he said a racist thing, but I wouldn't just say, this stone cold racist. I don't know. It's just, if you're from Miami, you know, people be letting that shit fly from time to time. I'm just saying. It's a fucked up time to be at the airport, folks. So when you go, just try to be as peaceful as possible. Try to be as patient as possible. Airline attendants are being trained in self-defense. That's how fucking crazy this shit's getting.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, yeah, they were doing their clickbait thing. This racist Klan member was upset because they didn't have peanuts, so he cut off his penis.
Get on the floor.
All right. That's a pretty good one to wet the beaks with, I would say, but I think we can do better. Can't we do better, folks? I think we can fucking do better. Why don't we go to Daytona Beach Shores? I have no idea where that is, but I'm assuming it's near Daytona Beach, and it would be tonight's first sighting of Florida Man.
Florida Man, Florida Man, lives in Floro City, Florida Man.
That's right.
Florida Man, Florida Man, gets
Look at this motherfucker. Look at this breadwinner right here. He is a winner. People like him. He's a scholar. 32-year-old man in Daytona Beach Shores, Florida, has been charged with multiple crimes after police say he was caught swinging a stolen alligator around by its tail in order to teach it a lesson.
You're on the floor.
Well, give that man a round of applause. This guy swung a stolen alligator around by its tail to teach it a lesson. God damn it. His name's William Hodge. He's a fisherman. He was seen at roughly 3:21 in the a.m. Holla. Thursday, attempting to throw a live gator onto a building roof on South Atlantic Avenue, according to a police affidavit. Police also say they observed William Hodge take the alligator by its tail and hit it against a building awning. Goddamn.
On the floor.
He slammed the alligator onto the ground and then stomped on it twice. This guy is a savage. He threw the alligator over his shoulder and then he threw it down to the ground as if he were trying to injure the alligator. No fucking shit. You
get
think?
The fuck out of here.
What do you think he was trying to do, make love to it? Hodge apparently made no attempt at escape or argument when police confronted him. He immediately dropped the alligator and put his hands up to be taken into custody. He's like, fuck it, you got me. I was going to kick that gator. I was going to kill that gator. Hodge did give a reason for his physical altercation with the stolen animal. He allegedly told police he was teaching it a lesson. Oh, goddamn, I had to teach it a lesson. Hodge admitted that just prior to the officer's arrival on the scene, he went to Congo River Golf, jumped the fence to the alligator enclosure, and stole an alligator. This was an unprovoked alligator. This alligator didn't come by and just, like, snatch up his daughter or fuck up his, like, chickens or something. This alligator was chilling at a fucking golf club, just chilling. What lesson did this alligator need to be taught? Congo River Golf and Exploration, according to its website, is a miniature golf course that also offers the chance to feed and hold live alligators. But apparently that was enough for our boy. He wanted to go over there and fuck that alligator up.
You're on the floor.
While he was in the holding cell at the Daytona Beach Shores Police Department, Hodge intentionally flooded the jail cell with toilet water by filling the bowl with watered up toilet paper and repeatedly flushing. When confronted, Hodge said he would flood the whole place, goddammit.
Get the fuck out of here! Florida man, Florida
man. George King, the general manager of the mini golf establishment where the alligator lives, did not state the size and weight of the alligator. I'm guessing it was a baby. Had to have been a baby. However, he valued the stolen alligator at $300. Damn! $300? That's all it costs for an alligator? And said the business is pressing charges for the theft and burglary. Volusia County Animal Control says the animal has been returned back home.
You're on the floor.
Seriously, it only costs $300 for an alligator? I'm about to get it. Next Wrecking Crew meetup, I'm about to get an alligator. Like, you're going to be at the Airbnb and there's just going to be a gator in the backyard. Once listed as an endangered species, and an increase in the American alligator population has upgraded the animal status to threatened, so not endangered. So that means, technically, fair game. You can fuck an alligator up if you want, no? There are about 1.25 million alligators living in the state of Florida where alligator poaching is illegal.
You're on the floor.
Good times. Good fucking times. I really got to figure out how many fucking gator stories I've had on this goddamn show by the end of all this nonsense. All right, where else are we going? We are going from, I think that was just outside of Orlando to... Oh, we're going to stay in Orlando. Let's fucking stay in Orlando. After stealing armfuls of clothing from a Tommy Hilfiger store, which apparently is still a thing, Ramiah Johnson, 23 years old, and a female sidekick ran out of an emergency exit and fled Thursday evening in a Cadillac Escalade driven by a male accomplice.
You're on the floor.
It was fucking getaway. They planned it to the T. There's no way they're getting caught. This is like Ocean's 14. They fucking came, they saw, they conquered. All right? Tommy Hilfiger. Tommy Bahamas. Following an alert issued for the SUV, a cop pulled over the vehicle 2 hours after the heist at an outlet mall in Orlando. Inside the getaway car, police found 4 Tommy Hilfiger shopping bags filled with clothes. Investigators estimated that the stolen merchandise, which still had anti-theft sensors in place, was worth in excess of $750, but less than $5,000. In addition to the garments and the shopping bags, cops noticed that Johnson and Kayla Hoffman, 26, were both wearing Tommy Hilfiger shirts. What a coincidence. As seen above, Johnson's Essential logo polo actually still had its Hilfiger hang tag on it. They stole it, put the clothes on, and left the tags on.
Get the fuck out of here.
Come on. Come on. What are you doing? Why does this dude look like Sid from the internet? During police questioning, Johnson reportedly confessed to the Hilfiger theft. He's like, yo, check this out. Like, tag sticking out the side of his shirt. I know you got, like, I'm gonna save you all the trouble. Like, don't even, you know what I mean? I'm ready to cut a deal. I stole that shit. I stole all that shit. You wouldn't have caught me otherwise. He confessed to the Hilfiger theft, claiming that Hoffman offered, She confessed to the Hilfiger theft, claiming that Hoffman offered her $50 to participate in the retail larceny. $50? What the fuck? You can't even buy a gator with $50. Fuck. $50, that's what we're doing? Hoffman declined to answer questions about the theft. Driver Frank Germain, 50 years old, told cops that he was paid to pick up the woman of the women and drive them for the afternoon. The ill Uber. Let me get an Uber, Uber X, Uber XL. Is it Uber X, Uber XL, Uber Theft? Is Uber Theft the top one? Because I think driver Frank Germain probably was working for Uber, unless there's some kind of other service I don't know about. While acknowledging he saw the merchandise in the SUV, Germain said he didn't question it. He just figured they went shopping. In addition to the Hilfiger clothing, police noted multiple items were found with tags from Marshalls inside the Escalade. Shout out to Marshalls. I had a friend in high school that he used to steal from Marshalls, too. I feel like a lot of people steal from Marshalls. Is that wrong? Johnson, Hoffman, and Germain were arrested and charged with burglary, grand theft, and retail theft, all felonies. Johnson, who was also charged with a misdemeanor count for allegedly providing a fake name to police, is being held in the Orange County Jail in lieu of $5,450 bond. Damn, that's a lot of gators. Shit. Johnson, who lives in an Orlando suburb, is also facing prosecution in a separate 2021 case for grand theft auto. Johnson has been charged with stealing a car that she drove to a January meeting with her probation officer. She's being supervised in connection with a narcotics possession conviction. God damn.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's like, girl, come on. You want me to introduce you to my mama? Like, you got to at least be like, you know, committing crimes that is going to be like at least five gators. You know what I mean? $300. Fuck out of here. It's gotta be a gator. Gotta be a gator's worth. Gotta be at least five gators worth. All right. So, unless Florida has anything else to offer us, I think we can probably move on because I think.
Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon, so you stay with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam.
What the fuck was that? Yes. 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 What was that? Holy shit. That was epic. Damn. I don't have any story related to that. I don't have any detailed information. All I know is we got to watch that one more fucking time.
Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon, so you stay with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam.
Yo, what was that? That was a dude on a fucking old people scooter with like two or three other old people scooters. We call them rascals. Like connected to each other, like in a train, basically a train. And then he had like a couple of like, basically like cages that had like dogs and cats in it. It was probably the most Florida shit I've ever seen. It was a redneck locomotive, baby. Let's go. The electric boogaloo. Miami's electric boogaloo. For real. All I did see about that story was people were accusing him of animal cruelty or whatever. And there was somebody who said, like, nah, we know him. He's a homeless dude. But I was like, he's homeless, but he has all that shit? Apparently, he's... I don't know. Actually, I don't know if they said he was homeless now. I might be assuming that. But I think they said, like, he's from the neighborhood. They knew him, and they were like, yo, he treats his animals mad good. Those are, like, his best friends and shit. It's one of those situations. So before you go yelling PETA, just know that he's treating those animals really well, and they look like they're having fucking fun. They're living the dream, all right? Man, one time for Florida. The Florida, I just want to have that clip play randomly throughout the rest of my life, all right? God damn, it's only right. Well, thank you, Florida. It's been a while. New Mexico was nice, but it's good to be back with the madness. It's good to be back with the craziness. All right, guys. Well, welcome back. It's hotter than a motherfucker out here. COVID's on the rise. Politics are crazy. Surfside's still recovering. I'm just trying to make it to the fucking autumn. All right, trying to make it to the fall. Just trying to make it to a time where we can walk outside our fucking houses without melting. Shootings aren't going down, and we can just enjoy a nice fucking mojito, all right? Is that too much to fucking ask? Shit. All right, that's my piece. I'm speaking my piece. All right, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. All right, let's do this. Yeah, it's too much to ask. All right, let's do this. Spence has another fan interview for us, and it's, again, another one of my favorite people. He's been coming to our shows forever and a day. He was in my Bright Live songwriting session earlier. He's been fucking with us for years, and he's super dope. Much love to him and his whole family. I'm very interested to see. I haven't even listened to the interview yet, so I'm gonna be watching right along with you guys. It's time for another episode of Fan Interviews on My Two Spanch. God damn it.
You recognize it's Spencer here, biggest fan. I've seen every single episode of the podcast.
Hey, I recognize Spencer. You're a longtime caller. I've been calling him for years.
My two spins. It's my two spins. My two spins.
Oh, you got an opinion? Well, you can't have it, because it's my two spins.
Spence, yeah.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another installment of Fan Interviews with My Two Spence. This week I have with me Joe. Say hello, Joe.
What's going on, everybody?
So just really quickly, give a brief introduction, explain a little bit of who you are, and specifically who you are to Recognize and Mayday.
My name is Joe Dyson. From New York, live via Florida. Back up in New York now. I've been listening to Wreck and Mayday since early 2011, and their music has just been a staple of my life for the last 10 years.
And so how were you introduced to Recognize and Mayday? How did you discover them, and what were your initial impressions?
Early 2011, my brother had come to Florida for a visit, and he played this album for me. And it was through his phone, so I couldn't really get the gist of it, but the album ended up being stuck on an island. And when I finally did get a chance to listen to it on my stereo, the sound was so unique that I couldn't comprehend it in one listen. It was just so different than everything else. At that point, I was falling out of love with hip hop. I grew up in this from African Bambaataa days. So yes, I'm an old head. So when I heard that album, it was like something that hit me. That, you know, the sounds were different. They weren't using the N-word, which to me was just a filler for people to use. They were making this music that had meaning. And so I got a chance to listen to it, loved it, but I never knew how to cop it because it wasn't like I wasn't on the internet like that. And then a few months later, I go up to New York to visit family, and my cousin, who goes by Man at Arms, he used to rap with Wreck, as a matter of fact, and he was playing a video that I caught out the side of my eye, and it happened to be the Look at Me Now freestyle, and just I was so impressed with the visual of the video, the way that he was spitting, and that made me go out and go look for him. Go find, where is this guy? Who is this guy? What are they doing? And then come to find out that the album I had listened to, he was on that album. And so it put all that hand to hand.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you basically discovered Wreck and Mayday kind of separately in two different instances. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And you're saying that it was truly like just kind of the uniqueness of Mayday that really stuck out to you.
Yeah, nobody was doing that at that time. Nobody was doing real instrumentals, electronic instrumentals. Everybody was playing real instruments. And to me, the Plex and Gianni were just, the production was like something that you couldn't really get in hip hop at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people agree with that. So overall, as the years have gone, what has Mayday and Wreck's music meant to you? Has it impacted your life, and how?
Oh yeah, it's impacted my life a lot. I mean, there's a lot of meaning in a lot of the songs, and I like to say that sometimes I think that they're like in some of our heads, like reading our journals and stuff, because they just pick the right songs at the right spot. And it hits.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you have any example of that?
Say Against My Better Judgment is a prime example. I mean, I'm a former addict, sober 19 years now. So like when that hit, like all those things, I still have friends that go through that. I still have family that goes through that. And hearing that song, you know, kind of like made me realize that I'm not the only person that has dealt with this. I'm not the only person who is dealing with this, and that there's a million other people that are doing it. And somebody is saying something about it, which is big, because not a lot of people want to talk about issues like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. All right, so going on to the next question, how would you rank Mayday's albums? Or at least, you know, what are some of your favorites, and then kind of what are your maybe least favorites?
Well, top three would be definitely Stuck on an Island, because that's where it all started. And that just, that gets everyday play. Future Vintage, and then Search Party would be my top three. And then probably the first album would be my least favorite. Not that it's any less than any of the other albums, but just not having Wreck on the album and where it has gone from that album till now just makes that album a little bit less appreciated in that sense.
Totally understand. So you mostly kind of explained why Stuck on an Island's your favorite, mostly just that it was the first album that you were introduced to, the uniqueness of it and all of that, the real instrumentation. And you mostly kind of hit on it. Why did the self-titled Mayday album not really quite meet the same mark?
I guess the production, I guess they weren't fully into that mode. It still felt like everything else that was being made until Stuck came out, and then the sound changed, everything changed.
So maybe it was just that Mayday was still kind of in its infancy and still kind of developing.
Still like they were still like the baby. and hadn't gotten into that, you know, adulthood or that teenage aggression.
Sure. Is there a certain style or genre that you'd like Reckon Mayday to dive into more?
I think they've hit everything. I mean, I definitely don't want to hear no country, but I mean, the reggae stuff, I loved everything from when they met Common Kings on, all the reggae induced. I really love that. Like, it's different. It reminds me of things that they did with Stuck that people probably wouldn't really look at like, oh, that works, but it worked. And same thing with that. It's just like the whole South of Fifth album. It's just something that it worked so well, and they complement each other on these albums to make them work so well in the instrumental.
So what are a few other artists that you'd list as your favorites? And that's a question from Rick.
So artists that I consider my favorites, I'm a huge Jay fan, huge DMX fan. I'm an old school like guy, like none of the newer, they are like the newest guys that I listen to, even though that they put me on to quite a few artists at concerts and stuff. I it's always goes back to the people that I grew up with. Jay, DMX, who else? Cam, Rakim, Beasties, LL, Afrika Bambaataa. It's a huge list. I could go on for days.
Sure. Anything outside of hip hop?
Yes. I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan. Love Led Zeppelin. Classic rock, Tom Petty. I dig all that.
All right. Awesome. I'll leave it to you. Is there any final remarks you'd like to leave for Recognize, Mayday, the listeners of the podcast?
Just everybody continue to be blessed. I love the Reckon crew. It is such a great family. I can't wait to meet everybody. A few of you I have met in person. And just Reck, keep doing what you're doing. We love you, bruh.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fucking Joe. Bruh, before I met Joe, I went to school with his cousin Ray, who was fucking terrifying in fucking school, all right?
Get the fuck out of here.
First time I ever met Ray, he probably hates that I told this story, but I don't go, fuck, I'm telling it anyways. First time I ever met Ray, or not even met him, but the first time I ever seen Ray, I was in school, in high school, and all of a sudden I heard a big commotion. I looked over and Ray got into it with somebody and he fucking slammed this kid's head into a fucking locker. And I was like, wow, that dude is fucking terrifying.
Get the fuck out of here.
And little did I know, he'd become one of my longest friends in life, old fucking Ray. We had a rap group together, a slang trio. Me, Man at Arms, aka Ray. And rest in peace, Sake the Great. One time for Sake the Great. We had a fucking rap crew together. We recorded an EP together in my old apartment in Hollywood. One of the hurricanes, I think it was Helen or fucking, it was like right around Katrina era. We got hit with a hurricane that was pretty bad, but it didn't knock the power out in our fucking neighborhood. And we got to keep our power, but the whole everything was locked down. A lot of other people didn't have power, so we were locked. They kind of like crashed at me and my sister's apartment. It's the first place I moved out of my mom's crib, and we just stayed. And I had my Pro Tools rig and had my setup as I always have had since I bought my shit as a teenager. And we just recorded like 5 songs off of beats that I made on my MPC. Anyways, I'm rambling, but it was a great time. And I got mad love for Ray. So, of course, when I met Joe and realized they were cousins, it was like, bro, you already know. It's family. It's fucking family. And Joe's been coming out to the shows and showing us mad love. And we've kicked it a bunch of times at the shows. And I talked to him online a ton of times. Seen him in Tampa. Seen him in New York. And I just realized, like, by listening to the interview now, Joe, like, I realized we have a lot of the same... we have a lot of the same like tastes in music, you know what I mean? I'm an old school like hip hop head. I like a lot of new shit too, but I like all, my roots are all in old school hip hop shit and classic rock shit too. So like, yeah, it makes sense why you fuck with our music, you know what I mean? That's fucking dope, man. Much love to you, Joe. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. It was nice hearing the, you know, the origin story of how you got introduced to us, because I've known you so long now. I wasn't even sure where you came on board. I just known you've always been rocking with us, so you know. Spencer's talking shit in the chat. One time for Spencer talking shit in the chat. There, I'm interacting with the chat, motherfuckers. All right. Fuck, I interact with the chat when it isn't too disruptive to the podcast. I'm like, now.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, they're talking shit about me because I have a Twitch channel where I like, I'll make beats or like make record. I did a hook the last time I was on there or talk shit. But I haven't been on there in a while. All right.
What?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding?
I know, it's been kind of sad. I haven't been on there for a while, but I'm going to get on there more. I always say that. Nobody probably believes me at this point. I'm trying to figure out a schedule, man. Just when Operation KD launches, all right, and it's on cruise control already, and I got everything kind of set up. I'm setting these pieces in place for the next year. Once that's cruising, I think I'm going to be able to stream a lot more. I'm just going to tell you that, guys, right now, all right? So please believe me. Please believe me.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Spence, for the interview. You guys are the fucking truth. I love y'all, and I'm love for ya.
Hi, Wakanai.
Hello, Aaliyah. Let's move on, shall we? Let's go to this week's breakdown. Some brand new shit. Breakdown.
Hi, Rick. I was wondering if you can do the breakdown of the verse that you did on Joey's Cool's track, Whiskey of the Day. Thank you.
That's my guy, James Fawner. Make some noise for James, everybody. I think James might have just had surgery when he left that message, because I know he was about to have some surgery. So if that is the case, James, I hope you're feeling better. Much love. You're the fucking man. And of course, it's some brand new shit, and you left a very quiet breakdown request, very calm and polite, very quiet breakdown request, so I have to honor that shit. And breakdown Whiskey of the motherfucking Day. Let's go.
Feeling like my home is on the stage, and every time I try to take it slow, my demons start to Donkey Kong their way, and ain't nobody trying to be exposed. I'm feeling like I owe you in a way, so I'ma have to take it on the chin and shoulders. Mama made a soldier when I came. I went and set the fucking forest up ablaze. I noticed the importance of the chain. See, I just been absorbing of the game. I order another round, you'll pull me up again. Distortion looking gorgeous in the frames. I'm forced to be a poster kid again. See, I just been absorbing up the game. I order another round, you'll pull me up again. So I pull my jacket in, the whiskey of the day. The lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette, I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I pull my jacket in, the whiskey of the day. The lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette, I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I
hold my head up really high. Yeah, I don't think I'm supposed to die. Yeah, I done paid the price and sacrificed my life to see my name in lights. Now I'm here, and I know you all just wanna scream.
but they took that away from me. So sorry that I had to leave, but they got us all quarantined. And I know that all the stores are closed now, and there's hardly any shows now. Don't know what the future holds, but use this soldier even though the world is frozen. Someday we'll be back again. I can't wait to hug my friends. Damn, tell them what it could have been. Let's put the spin on all the negative. Let's win now. Oh, oh. I pour my Jackie D the whiskey of the day until they take it all away.
So I pour my Jackie D the whiskey of the day. The lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette. I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I pour my Jackie D, the whiskey of the day. Lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette. I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I.
Salud. Yeah. This one's for y'all. Yeah. Pour this whiskey in my glass. 20 seconds pass. I don't know the circumstances. See, I'm trying to navigate this dirty magistrate, but she just wanna hurt my chances. Why you wanna come and do me like that? Kick me when I'm down and bite back. They've been trying to read us all the riot act. Then just lock us in the Venus flytrap. But I pour this bet into my former dad. Sip it slow into my porter's head. I don't drink these days. If I can forge ahead, I need support instead of all these torches lit. So just leave me with this here Sinatra sip. Couple shots before I go to rock the shit. This an angel that I know I got to kiss. Put two glasses out and leave me be.
So I pour my Jackie D, the whiskey of the day. The lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette. I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I pour my Jackie D, the whiskey of the day. Lights down low, just getting off the stage. Then I light my cigarette. I'm always on the way, just trying to make it home before I see the day. So I.
Jackie D. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Fuck yeah. There it is, James. Sorry, surgery is not for another couple weeks. The chat let me know. So sorry, you just must have been very quiet or just woken up. But it's all good either way, because that was a good breakdown request one time for you. Nah, nah, nah. Joey killed that track. Loved the track. You know what the one thing I didn't look up was who produced the track? Does anyone know who produced the track in the chat? I love the beat. This beat is super dope. They killed it with their verses. Both their verses, Joey and Jerry's, are dope. The hook is super on point. Mackenzie on the backgrounds on the hook. All dope. He really hit me with that in the last minute. I don't know if it was one of the last tracks they put together for the album or what, but you know, Joey is big on his Sinatra, Jack Daniels vibe. And since he got on Strange, people were like, yo, man, like you did Jack Daniels records. How you not gonna be able to like get Mayday on a track? You should get Mayday on a record. They made a fucking Jack Daniels song too. Like, you guys, it's like a no-brainer. And we talked about doing some stuff, and it just kind of like, we'd been on records together, but we hadn't done like anything to that regard yet. But he hit me. I did that verse like literally like a month ago, maybe not even. He said, yo, man, check this out. I got this joint. It's perfect for you. I want you to do the last verse, but it's got to be turned around like right away. And when he hit me, we were out of town. We were on those Mayday shows in South Dakota. And I was like, bruh, well, actually, we're about to leave. And I was like, look, I'm about to leave to South Dakota for fucking Mayday shows and shit. Like, I can maybe get it back to you like Monday when I come back. And he's like, all right, let me check with Caitlin, make sure it's cool. And they told me, yeah, we can get it Monday. That would be cool. And then I got back and I was like, yo, Monday my voice was shot from the shows. I fucking barely had a voice. And I was like, look, check this out. Would it be okay if I got it to you tomorrow morning? I just need to sleep one more night. They were like, all right, if you can get it to us, well, it'll be the last thing we mix for the album. It'll be like basically right under the fucking door before we close it. I was like, cool. Slept on it. Woke up that morning, like had my in-laws take my kids for a drive and knocked the fucking verse out. Got it done. Got her done. Got done. But I love the track. Super glad. Shout out to Joey Cool for having me on there. I love this. This album so far has been super riding. The video that he just dropped with Tech was super dope. I love the whole aesthetic, the Peaky Blinders vibe. Yeah, I try to be normal once. Fucking super dope. Oh, Dominique Sanders produced. Fucking no wonder I like it. Yes. Shout out to Dominique Sanders, who also co-produced The Fallen. Yeah. Yeah, we got to send Caitlin some Torchy's gift cards, no doubt. Yeah, Dominique Sanders was the co-producer of The Fallen on my Pressure Point album. So there you go. There's the connection. There's a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. 6 degrees of Recognize. Yeah, so that's fucking dope. Wonderful. All right, great breakdown. Whiskey of the Day is out now. Joey Cool, Jerry Robinson, and your boy, Mackenzie Nicole on the backgrounds, on the hook. And it's on his new album, I Try to Be Normal Once, which is out fucking now. All right. All right, let's see. We don't have a ton of lines because I think people just kind of went quiet in this world right now. And also no one knew when the fuck I was coming back with the show. So we don't have a ton of lines, but you know we can always count on our guy to fucking wrap it up for us. Let's do a line with the one and only Danny Gagne.
What up, Rick? The more I listen to your catalog, released and unreleased, I'm in awe. I think about some of your lyrics, for example. Just give me all your doubts and I'll bounce like a pigeon's neck. Fucking genius. Like, how the actual fuck do you come up with these gems? Anyway, there's no doubt that you were born to do this, even if the masses are still blind and deaf to it. The endless creativity with your lyrics, concepts, ideas, and the way you pull off these incredibly difficult feats with seeming ease is just so unbelievable to me. You've obviously been cultivating your sound for decades now, and that's not a pot shot at your age, but a compliment on your relentless drive and passion for your craft. Your bag of vowels is deep, and you could rap, sing the alphabet, and make it dope. I just love that your sound is so original, so uniquely you, and that you've had the fortitude to bring it to fruition for our ears to consume. I love what you brought to the Mayday table, and I feel like you steal every feature you're on. In a world full of fake like whores, I appreciate your originality for real. Gagne, out.
Fucking Gagne, dude. God. Stop it, Danny. You're spoiling me, dude. You're spoiling me, bruh. You know what I mean? Gassing me up. It's not possible to gas me up, but if there was anybody that could gas me up, that could get me feeling myself, like, on some arrogant shit, it'd be you. All right? Fuck. Oh, shit. And he left me a P.S. Hold on. What's the P.S.?
P.S. Also, happy motherfucking 11th birthday to one of my favorite albums, Sorry for Skeptics. I'm pretty sure I've been streaming this album for, like, the last 200 days straight, so hopefully one day that thing hits platinum and, yeah. Some of that will be me. Gagne out.
Yeah. I didn't wait for the Gagne out. That was foolish of me. Yes. Fucking thank you for reminding me, Danny. Happy 11th anniversary. It was yesterday, right? I think it was yesterday. The 11th anniversary just passed for Sorry for Skeptics. For those of you who are in the crew, you remember last year we did a really dope like live stream where I was breaking down all the like ins and outs of the whole album, and then launched the vinyl campaign for Sorry for Skeptics. We had a lot of fun with that one. I didn't go crazy with anything this year. I have a stack next to my bed that's ready to be sent, one for every person who's on the album who Denny purchased for me. So much love to Denny once again. And I have one for Redman too. It's on my to-do list. I'm like, fucking to be with his. I'm making progress. I promise you, I'm making progress. 2022, gridlock won't have shit to say about my schedule. All right, Like, there won't be any, the shit talking will halt to nothing. To fucking nothing. Yeah, it was a year ago. So it's the 11th anniversary we just passed right now, which is crazy. We're going to have to do something really dope for the 15 year. I always like to do them on round numbers. I'm not going to be like, holy shit, it's the 12th year anniversary. Let's go ape shit. Nah, you know how it is. We wait till the 15th anniversary and we'll go crazy. Before I do anything cool again with that anniversary album releases, I got to still fucking go back and do the goddamn Mayday Stuck on an Island 10 year anniversary vinyl. So I got to see what's up with that because it's on lockdown right now. All right, so unless there's anything else anyone else has to say in this motherfucker, I think it might be time for us to get the fuck up out of here.
Hi, Wakanai.
Hello, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah? All right, so it's good to be back. So here's what's gonna happen for the next month. I'm gonna be on every week for the podcast. I think the one week, next week, the 9th, we're out of town for a Mayday function, but Friday I should be back. So I think that was the only one that was in danger. But for the next month until we go out of town for the Mayday tour, I'm going to be on my podcast game. I'm going to be recording a lot for Operation KD, my top secret project I've been working on. I'm going to be around. I'm going to be doing my Friday Night Lives. I'm not going to miss a Friday. We back every week. If you're a member of the Patreon Wrecking Crew family, you know about our Friday Night Live parties. So we're back. Back, fucking back. September is going down. I'm going hard as fuck. And then I got to organize for the month of October and partial month of November how to mobilize and either take this podcast basically on the road or I don't know how the fuck I'm going to do this shit. I'm going to have to figure it the fuck up out. All right? I need it. Operation KD. Yeah, some people are asking me about getting a clue. I'm gonna start giving some clues. I'm going to give the first clue out to the moonshotters of my Reccoin cryptocurrency project. So if you're on my Discord server and you have access to the moonshotters fucking channel, get ready because you get the first fucking preview, all right? That's me being fucking crazy. Did I ever get my strange chain? They're asking in the chat. UGK, what up? Yes, I did get my strange chain. I have it here. I treasure it. I love it. I talk to it. I sleep with it. I did get my strange chain. There's a video of it. If you go to YouTube and you're feeling crazy, then you can Google Mayday gets their strange chains, I think. It comes up. We did a little vlog when we got it. It's not classy. It's classes. Don't worry. The information will trickle down, all right? It's trickle-down economics. Trickle-down reconomics. Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Anyway, so that's it for me on solo shows for a while. New Mexico was my last one. And then we have this Mayday function coming up on the 9th. And then, which is a private thing, private engagement. Someone finally booked us for a wedding. I thought Denny was going to be the first one, but somebody beat him to it. Fucking Mayday fucking plan a fan's wedding. It's going down in Utah, all right, on the 9th. Shout out to them. It's going to be fun. It's going to be one for the books, all right? September's coming. If you're a part of the Wrecking Crew, look out for the schedule tomorrow. I'll have the schedule of the month popping off so we can make some more progress on things. And thank you as always for all the support. I love you guys, people who are tuned in and new to the show. If you don't already, we're on YouTube. All these shows replay on YouTube. Please subscribe. I'm trying to break 1,000 subscribers. I'm like 140 away. And if you get a chance, hit up your favorite podcast platform, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever it is, Deezer or whatever the fuck, and give me a rating and give me some love on the show. It would be wonderful. If you want to leave a message for the show, become a monthly supporter, any of that fucking cool shit, you can hit the link tree in our social media platforms or somewhere here on the Twitch chat and go ahead and fucking support or leave a message for the next show and all that shit. In the meantime, though, I think there's only one fucking thing to do, and that would be to play the song, bitches.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Closing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Now you're making me mad. You're gonna make me swear. Get the fuck out of here. Finish up that beer. You might as well call it a night, my friend. You're gonna have to get the fuck out. You heard me. So long, arrivederci, sayonara. Get the fuck out. Ciao, good night. Bye bye, so long, farewell. See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile, shaking now. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, give me a fucking break.
Can I get a refill, please?
Hey, you fuckface, get out of here. What are you fucking
doing? Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you.
The GTFOH Podcast. Learn more at thegtfohpodcast.com.
Just what the world needed, one more podcast.
Get the fuck out of here.